want to share with you on the day and the hour that we find ourselves in today, the book of the Revelation. And we're going to look just a second or so at this last church age, found the book of Revelation, chapter number 3 and verse number 14. And I'm just going to try to follow the Lord on a few thoughts this morning. And as he stood and said that, I felt something sort of raising in my heart over there on a song of what to do a while ago. And I've been a little hesitant about doing it, but I sure do want to mind him. And I want you to see in the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, verse 14, he said, "And unto the angel," or the messenger, that word in Greek means messenger, or that local pastor there of the church of the Laodiceans. Now, God has always given his man a message to his people. And when God's wrath would come upon an area or upon a town, he would withdraw himself, he would withdraw his messenger from that town. And so he's still writing to that messenger, that pastor, that angel. And he says, "These things saith the Amen." Now he's going to have the last say-so. I mean, you may be wondering, well, when's judgment coming? Well, you be assured of this, judgment is coming. He said, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness." And he said, "In the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." He said, "I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke, and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I like this. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and he'll sup with me, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing, Reverend, the reading of the Word of God. Our visitors are here this morning, and one of those asked me yesterday, they asked a question. And they said, on the line of, how are the churches in this area? Are there churches on every corner? Yes, there sure are. There's a lot of buildings today. You've got a lot of options of where you choose to go to church. And so Jesus is writing now in this last church age. It was seven churches, which means that of completion. No doubt we are in the last days, because he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Not if they might, but they shall come. Now, there is hope for America this morning. There is hope for churches. We find him in the first church. He's walking amongst the candlesticks. But here in this last church age, something that we're all aware of, he's on the outside knocking, wanting in. But aren't you glad he said that if any man would open the door, he would come in? I'm glad he's got an open door at Liberty Baptist Church. I'm so glad we've got a God that wants to go to church with us. And you know something? There's a lot of people going to church without him. And there's a lot of folks walking around as Brother Randy taught this morning on the directions in life to go. You've come to a crossroads now and you don't have him. What way are you going to go? America is in total chaos and confusion. But can I tell you that the Word of God is still the Word of God in the day and hour that we live. This is our road map. This is our guide. This is our manual. These are our directions. And you know, we think a lot about, well, the election that's coming out in a few weeks. No man. There's not a man in America that can solve America's problem. There's a God man in America that could solve America's problem. Now, you'll notice that the old timers, a lot of times, they used to preach out of that passage in the book of Chronicles, where if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and seek my face, he said, then he would, and turn from their wicked ways, he would hear from heaven and heal their land. But you know what's going on in our churches across America? It's complacency. It's just a lukewarmness. And somebody had asked, well, you know, I said, it's amazing to me. I do some preaching in the Carolinas, and I find myself that it be a deeper vein of old-time religion and maybe a preacher that is standing more in that part of the country than we find preachers in this part of the country standing. But certainly they asked me then a second question, well, not only about preachers and churches, but what about the people? I said, well, this is what I find. I find the people there are like the people here. They're people. And I'm going to tell you what we've got used to. We've got used to the blessings of the hand of God in America. We know nothing about having to go out and plow a field and rely upon God to bust a seed out of the ground, and we know nothing about having to pray and ask God to send a shower to water our garden and our fields that we may survive. But let me tell you, the same God that's behind the scenes of our forefathers, He's the same God that's behind the scenes today. And I want to tell you something, Liberty Baptist Church. I want to be the pastor here that will always remind you about where our blessing comes from. Our blessing don't come out of a bank account. And I know it takes money to run things. Matter of fact, you'll find in the last church age, they had no problem with money. The Bible said that in Revelation 3 and verse 17, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods. You know, I've preached way too many funerals in the ministry, but I've never preached a funeral yet that I've seen anybody take anything out of this life with them. And you know, we've got to come to the point of where we are a people and we put things in the right perspective. You know something? God blesses us in order that He may be honored and glorified. God gives us blessings not that we forget the blesser, but that we would adore and praise the blesser, and that we not major on the blessing, but we major on the blesser. Liberty Baptist Church, would you wake up today and see what God is doing in your community of where you go to church? You ought to wake up today and thank the God of heaven that things are as good of where you are today, from your house to this house, all the way even to the White House this morning. America's still the greatest country that I've ever stepped foot in, and they still good people in America, and they're still good people in churches, and there's still good people that's wanting to serve God and do right, and they still some young people that's wanting to be filled with God and hear the old story and stand up for the old values and stand in the old paths. Thank God, I'm going to tell you, honey, if it's ever come a day and an hour when the man of God ought to be running back and preaching what thus saith the Word of God, the Word of God's going to help you at your house. It's going to help us at this house. It's going to help us at the White House. Ain't no one man going to fix this country. But God can fix this country. You know, it's just like the devil. I've been preaching on Wednesday night on the devices of the devil and the armor. This last Wednesday night, I taught on the topic of the shield of faith. You know, so many times the devil don't want you to do any things. He says, take in the whole armor of God. He talks about those fiery darts that the devil throws. And boy, he's good at throwing fiery darts. He'll throw a fiery dart in your heart today and tell you you're no good. you've done this and you've done that, and so now God can't use you no more. Aren't you glad He's a God of second chances? Then He'll tell you this. He'll throw you a fiery dart and tell you, them people there when you're going to church don't like you. Well, you might as well do like what Brother Randy said this morning. You might as well get over what people think and do what's right. Amen. And just serve God and love one another, and God will sort all of that out. And the devil is a liar this morning. The devil's a liar. He'll tell you, nobody here likes you. Well, most everybody likes you. Not everybody here likes me, but they got to put up with me. They too scared to say something with all these rednecks. Somebody say amen right there. And some of you women, you can whoop the average man in this church. Amen. Now, you know you got real church members when they go to the veterinarian with a cold. Amen. But now we got some that does that. I won't tell you where he's at this morning, but I'm going to tell you, and he's helped him too. It helps some of y'all if y'all get a good worm in. Somebody say amen and I thought, you done got a little worm in. Some of you need a good worm in this morning. But I'm going to tell you, America's in a mess. Now, he's right in this last church age. And he says, I want you to know this. He said, you say that you're rich and increased with goods and you got need of nothing. Man, we got it going on here. We got the prettiest stained glass you can ever look at. Did you know that we went to Chelsea decorating the metal? I remember the day and out in the great state of Texas, we picked out these panels and flew them in. They was hand-painted. We put them in. We ordered the finest chandeliers, the nicest setting pew. We even sloped the floor for you so you could see the preacher and see what was going on. We added a new addition. Did you know we put in about four new heat and air systems? We put the prettiest lighting we could find. We got the carpet matching as pretty as we can get it matched. We've come in and we've even put in big old newel posts, amen. I ought to have took these knobs off so I could have straddled it when I was a preaching, amen. And we've even got new communion table. We got pretty fly. We got the prettiest foyer in the state of Georgia. Man, we got a fireplace. Everything's right in place. You look at our property and our grounds. Everything is manicured, fresh pine straw. I mean, buddy, you pull up, this facility has got it going on. But let me tell you, honey, it's not about a structure. And it's not about a stained glass. And it's not about a chandelier. And it's not about the who's who crowd. It's about the darling Lamb of God that hung and died and shed His blood for us that we could go free. And if we ever get over the fact of what He's done for us, friend, we're headed on a one-way street. Boy, it's easy to get over what He's done for us. You know, as an employer, I used to do a lot of things for a lot of people. I stayed there nearly 24 years. I started on the bottom in a route truck. Before long, I progressed into management. I got a handful of people under me. Before long, God began to broaden my field. He let me get an area. He let me get a county. Then He got to giving me counties. And then He gave me a plant. And He gave me the whole employee base. And I noticed the more I do for people, the more people expect it. Amen. I remember giving a boy a gas card one time going on his family vacation, just trying to be good to him because he was doing me a good job. I said, here, take this fleet card and fill up your vehicle. Go to Florida, enjoy it, and go on us. You're doing the company a great job. Well, next year I noticed he was at my office door, Brother Gerald. I said, can I help you? He said, well, I'm going on vacation. I said, yeah. He said, well, can I get that gas card? That's just like me and you, see. We just take everything for granted. I mean, we don't really appreciate nothing that nobody's done for us no more. We think just cause that we walk in a place and just cause our mom and daddy are who they are. We think a lot of time mom and daddy lives in a nice house and they've got two cars. And so we ought to start out housekeeping in a nice house and two cars. But you forgot about mom and daddy used to live in a single wide where you could throw a cat through the side door of the thing. And you forgot about that old car that daddy'd have to jump off for mama. Honey, let me tell you something. We all had to crawl before we could walk. And we better get back to crawling and realizing, honey, we ain't a walking by ourselves. If it wasn't for the good grace of God, we'd shut this door this morning.
We got a house full of people. We got one of the greatest ministries in America. But we better not let this Laodicean spirit creep in our church and creep in our lives. Did you know the devil's so subtle? The devil does nothing drastic. You know why our country is where it is? It didn't happen overnight. The devil's subtle. He starts things. You'll notice these old barns, they start leaning just a little bit through time. You know, I preached a message up under in April this year on remove not the ancient landmark that thy forefathers have set. Now, what he meant by that was simply this. They would have their landmarks on each corner. They would take it, and that mean that they owned everything between that. It was rocks, or it was maybe a stob. But the enemy would come in and they'd move those marks just a little bit at a time. That's just like the devil. He's so subtle. There's a little bit of missing church, and for long you go to leaning, you're out of church. Amen. You go to missing this check, writing for God this week, and you say, well, now, it's okay, we won't catch up. We just go on this week for a long. We've even, like, I'm loving the Sunday school message more and more today. He preached on tithe, and I like that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to spit on y'all when I was preaching. Some of y'all ought to get up here in the spitting section. It'd help you good this morning. But you know, ain't it amazing how we just sort of the devil so subtle? Why, he knows me and you are smart enough that we won't swallow rat poison if he just throws it on our plate. No, he sprinkles it in our green beans. He sprinkles a little bit in our tea glass, just a little bit at a time. He moves those boundary lines just a little at a time. Matter of fact, you letting things go on at your house this morning that you didn't let go on 5 years ago because you say, well, it's the culture. Honey, hogwash about the culture. What's this book say about what you're doing this morning? And if you're not careful for long, them landmarks are totally gone. It's no more corner pose. It's no more right, and it's no more wrong. Everything's okay, but can I tell you, everything ain't okay. It's what thus saith the Word of God, and this book's going to stand when the world's a-burning. Boy, they had it made, though. They're the Laodiceans. You know what that word means, Laodicea? Look it up in the Greek. It means power of the people. Our power. We're going to run it. Preacher, don't you say nothing to offend no visitors. Well, I'm not trying to offend no visitors. I'm trying to offend you. I'm trying to get your dander stirred up. Amen. I'm trying to get a holy grunt out of you. I'm talking about you. It's amazing when a man nearly 80 years old will stand up and shout the glory of God. And some of you youngins will sit there and won't even do an amen. Your wife's got to say amen for you. Boy, they had goods. He said, I know all about you. He said, I know your works. He said, you increase with goods. You got need of nothing. But something you're missing. You don't know you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He said, everything that it seems to be, it ain't really what it is. Family is everything that glitters it in gold this morning. You can chase that corporate world or you arrive at top. And I'm going to tell you what, it's a long way down from up there. And some of you that think you're holy and self-righteous and you're more righteous than any old sinner, let me tell you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell this morning. Every one of us would be in hell without the grace of God. We see somebody not dressed like us or not doing like us, and we have a tendency to say, well, you know, they're getting what they deserve. Well, what do we really deserve? What do we deserve? He said, you know, I know you've got goods, but you hadn't got God. He said, you got a real nice place, you're well-to-do people, things are going great. But he said, you really don't know that you're bankrupt. Can I tell you something? When you walk off in a funeral home, you know, I noticed something this morning in my study time. I want you to look right here just a minute. Look over here, daddies and mom. The Holy Ghost is raising this up. I want you to look. I'm hoping I can find it.
It's over in the book of Acts, and here it is. It's in chapter 8. And Stephen has just got stoned for preaching the gospel. And the Bible said they stoned Stephen, calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," in Acts 7:59. Verse 60, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, in verse number 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there's a great persecution against the church. Nothing has changed. There's still persecution against the church. They're not going to love you for loving Jesus. Now watch this. Great persecution was against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 2, where I want to dwell just a minute, and I'll be closing down. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Let me ask you something. When the pallbearers come take you out to the graveyard, where are you going to be at? Anybody under the sound of my voice today that's going to be buried and have a funeral, you're going to have what we call pallbearers. You're going to have somebody that's going to carry you and that box to where they're going to let you down in at. And I want to ask you something. Where are you going to be with God when them pallbearers pick you up? Is people going to be wondering about the life you lived? And, you know, I don't know, preacher. The Bible says that those that are saved, they ought to live like they're saved. And, preacher, I just don't know where they are going. Let me tell you, you can know where you're going this morning. And the only way you're going to get there is by the Lord Jesus Christ. All roads don't lead to heaven. There's great persecution against the church because we took a dogmatic statement in the line. Jesus is not a way. He is the way. The truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. And so if you're going to heaven, you're going there by one way, and that's by the Lord Jesus. And so when the pallbearers come and take you off, where are you going to be at? But now Jesus says, I'm sitting there, and I love what He said. He said, I'm on the outside, and I'm a-knocking. And He says, if you'll open the door, I'll come in. What a gentleman. What a God that would want to get inside. Can I tell you, He's not comfortable on the outside. I won't say this now, and I'm going to be closing down. I've got two closing remarks to think about. One to the church, and number two for the sinner. If we're not careful in this culture, and in this hour, and in this day of blessing, and I know times are hard, but we still got more goods than we've ever had. And we've got less God than we've ever had. And I want to tell you, Liberty Baptist Church, it don't matter how loud your preacher gets. It don't matter how many meetings he's preaching. It don't matter how smart he gets in that book. It's up to you what you make Liberty Baptist Church to be. It's up to you. I mean, are you going to sit there in a complacency and say, well, no, that's good, but I mean, it's 10 after 12 right now. Everybody else is out eating chicken. I mean, isn't everybody else getting out at 12 o'clock? I mean, I've heard that. Preacher, we'd come to y'all's church, but you just preach too long. Well, our country's not in a mess, Brother Jake, because of long-winded preachers. Our country's in a mess because preachers have quit preaching. Church, we need God. Our leadership here needs God. These young families raising these babies, you think the devil takes that lightly? them kind of young ones coming around putting their money in that bucket every Sunday morning. You think the devil takes that lightly? You think the devil takes that lightly when your blinker turns in at this property? I'm not telling you this is the only church in town, but I can tell you this. This is a place where the Word of God's preached and the devil hates it. And the devil will try his best to get you discouraged. Every preacher that'll get up here and preach, if God will use him, he's so discouraged by the time he leaves here, he don't even know his name. Any Sunday school teacher that'll get up and teach here, they're so discouraged by the time they leave. Why? Because the devil. The devil. Boy, we've got a great church. And you know why churches die? People let them die. You know what Jesus said to that church? And it may surprise you what He said about lukewarmness. He said, it gags me. He said, I wish you was cold or hot. He said, I don't want you at a number five. Let me ask you something. In your spirituality, where you are with Christ and where you are in worship, on a scale from 1 to 10, you say, well, preacher, I'm a 5. Well, that's not too good on the scale with Jesus. We got one lady comes to the altar and pray. Well, why don't you come pray with her? We got one man to come to the altar and pray. Why don't you get up off your bench and go pray with them? We got young families struggling. You know they're struggling. Won't you go to them and say, let's go to the altar and pray. Just because we got new faces sitting around, does that mean we quit praying? Just because we got a beautiful facility, we're just going to sit there and grow morbid and be among the frozen chosen? We're not better than nobody else, honey. I'm going to tell you, a sinner is a sinner and sin is sin. And the Savior can do anything. And we need the Savior and we need each other. And we need God. And Sherry, if you come just play me something softly this morning, I won't need a song. Some of you families, you're raising young'uns and I know it's hard. They pulling that card on you. Well, everybody else's mom and daddies are doing it. It's hard. I tell you something else too, church. When a lot of other churches are going in other directions and you got a few people saying, well, you know, you ought to back off this and you ought to back off that and you ought to do this. And you know, churches are looking for something new to for entertainment. We're not in the entertainment business here. We're in the worshiping God and the preaching the Word of God and seeing lives change and marriages put back together and sinners saved by the grace of God. And them doors swing both ways, neighbor. They not locked. It ain't no measuring tape on the outside saying you got to be that way to come in here. It don't matter about your skin color. Don't matter about what kind of job you got. I don't care what you've done. There's nothing that the Lord can't handle. That Laodicean spirit. Man, I go to places. I'm talking about places that seat 1,000. There's 80 people sitting there. America needs revival. Did you know in the Philippines where I've preached that? Did you know now they're sending Filipino missionaries from the Philippines to America? Isn't that something? Boy, we've got so complacent and we've got so happy. Well, preacher, I don't know what you're so tore up about. Oh, I'm not tore up yet. I'm just preaching what thus saith the Word of God. Don't let this culture just glaze you right on over to sleep. You know something? These young'uns are watching you. They know if you're laying out of church. They know if you're reading your Bible at home. They know if you're slipping, taking a little drink out of the refrigerator. They seeing everything. Oh, preacher, you against everything? No, not everything. I'm just for doing right. And I hadn't preached in 3 weeks and I'm not done preaching yet. God's been good to you, sir. Wonder how he feels. Brother John Wesley stood up
put that on my mind, my heart. Wonder how Jesus feels when we sit down here casually. We got one of the best vocalists in America singing about Him getting up out of the grave, folks sitting around. Well, when are we going to light the grill? I despise holidays, except Christmas. I love Christmas and Thanksgiving. Hate birthdays. Everybody's sitting around for the July weekend. Talladega Raceway. Ain't it amazing how they had to swamp them grandstands, set out in that blazing sun, cheering, hollering, Brother Donald. They excited. Don't lose this. There's a man told me something 25 years ago. This is what he told me, and I've tried to prove him out to be a lie, and I think you can say I've proved him out to be a lie. He said, "Preacher, it's coming. You're going to lose your tears. You're going to lose your shout." And I'm not calling the devil out. I know I'm no match for him, Miss Sharon. I know he can shut me down just like that. But Brother Larry, I remember where God found me at. I remember the days, Felton, when, excuse me, but I had to tell a story because I didn't have $5 to buy a box of gun shells to go hunting with a man. I didn't have the money to do it. I remember coming across Chattanooga, Tennessee, had $1,000 to my name, all I had that my daddy gave me. Met a little old girl in Bowden, Georgia, swept, Brother Larry, swept me off my feet. But I had a vision. Don't lose your vision. Don't lose your thankfulness. Don't lose your humble beginnings. I can remember when this church was in a storefront building preaching the glory of God in the whole place. Well, guess what? He's still God this morning. What you need in your life. Number two, sinner friend, if you're here lost without Christ today, Jesus will save you this morning. Little Charlie got saved the other Thursday night. Jesus will save you just like He saved him and saved me if you'll simply come by faith and trust Christ to be your Savior. You come this morning, maybe you and Mom and Daddy want to come, just gather around this throne and say, "Oh God, come into the throne room this morning." Say, "We just want to thank You for helping us." Whatever you need this morning, my sister plays. This is the invitation. This altar's open. Whatever you need in your life, sir, I'd probably make a move to this altar today. Ask God to help me with my family. Church.